Rama, Rama, Over the last few weeks, I have been regularly thinking and working on my book, Always in Vrindavan. It is a book which tries to give suggestions how we can always try to be connected with Vrindavan Dham and profit from the tremendous spiritual atmosphere. I should say the tremendously uplifting spiritual atmosphere. While saying uplifting atmosphere, I would like to hint at a certain quality which Vrindavan exerts on a pilgrim. When someone comes to Vrindavan, he will meet two divine energies of Krishna which are absolutely necessary for our spiritual advancement. He will meet the Taraka Shakti and the Paraka Shakti. Taraka Shakti frees us from our conditioned nature. It's an energy by which Krishna cuts a little bit the iron chains which bind us to our conditioned nature. And by Paraka Shakti, Paraka Shakti is an energy which connects us with Krishna, which binds us to Krishna by making us attracted to Him. More and more as I grow older in my spiritual life, I am aware that to become free from the influence of material nature is not really a children's play. It's not so easy as we would like it. I'm thinking of Kaliya, the serpent who, after he was defeated by Krishna, said something wise to Krishna. Kaliya said, after he had come to spiritual enlightenment by Krishna's lotus feet on his head, he said, "Oh, it's so difficult to give up one's conditioned nature by which one becomes identified with an illusion." And he talked freely about himself. He said, "Look at me, I'm in a snake's body, and by nature I'm very angry on other people." We hear when you intrude the territory of a cobra, the cobra becomes so angry at you that he stands up and just attacks you viciously. So we may not have the body of a snake. We certainly don't have. But I think we also feel the influence of conditioning which our body and mindset exert on us. For instance, here in Gaura Bhavan, I have ample opportunity to study two new devotees to our team and see how the new environment for them and the new service for them is something they need to acclimatize to. They come from a totally different life set, and all of a sudden they enter Gaura Bhavan, and it's not a meditational oasis, to say it in a very polite way. It's really a preaching machine which runs under full steam, and it's service from early morning to the time when we go to and rest. So I begin to understand, although this is my normal life, this is a challenge for newcomers who are entering the atmosphere of Gaura Bhavan. I begin to see, wow, yes, it's unexpected for others. So we all react, this was my point, to the environment which we find according to our conditioned nature. It's when we go to India and it's hot, we sweat. When we come to Gaura Bhavan, we also sweat. It is a conditioned response. The first response was in the body. We sweat in India because the temperature is high. The second response, we come to Gaura Bhavan and we sweat because it's an intense mental situation where we need to get accustomed to. So this was an example. By the way, we are very nice devotees. Please all visit us. It's not so intense as I say. I'm just giving an example. We all are conditioned souls, and we react towards certain situations in life in a conditioned way. And Kaliya so honestly says, "My Lord, is it at all possible to get free from what you have given me? You have given me the body with a certain mindset. Can I ever hope to be free from this? It's you who created the species. It's you who created the minds. It's you who created the natures. Can I ever become free from your creation, my Lord?" And then Kaliya says, "Yes, it is possible, but only by your mercy, not by any other possibility." So Krishna, when he gives his mercy and frees a conditioned soul from his conditioned life and response, comes to the conditioned soul through a particular energy. When you feel that energy working on you, you know it's Krishna who sent it to you. It's the Taraka Shakti. Let me give you an example. When you feel all of a sudden, while you're walking outside, it's getting warm, you know the sun found you. How do you know this? Because the sun has touched you with his sun rays. So when you feel you get free from your conditioned nature, you can know Krishna found me. How can you know this? Because the Taraka Shakti, which frees you from your inner bonds, has worked on you. Paraka Shakti is another energy of the Lord, which when it finds you, makes you attracted to Krishna. When you know your attraction to Krishna grows, you can know Krishna found you through his, and he exerted the influence of his Paraka Shakti up into your life. Now you feel more gratitude, more appreciation, more beginning of love even. So these two energies, Taraka and Paraka Shakti, are residing, acting and working on you, especially in the Holy Dham. And when I left Vrindavan this time, and I was not happy about it, I was sad in fact, I decided that in the hospital in Delhi, where I would go, I would regularly visit Vrindavan in my mind. I decided to really learn a method through the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas, a method of mentally residing in the Holy Dham. It was not so difficult to do this because I had been working on this concept since a long time. In the scriptures it says, if you are not able to stay physically in the Holy Dham, you can do this in your mind. And in our exalted Vaishnav tradition, there is a lot of information how you can be in your mind in devotional service. And so on. I learned this when I was in hospital and couldn't act physically for Krishna. I just preached for 30,000 Afghanistan interested bhaktas in my mind. No problem. So today I would love to do something with you. I mean, in a way, I would love to all bring you into a meditative state, but somehow I don't think it will work through internet. Please forgive me. I see you on your laptops sitting there. I can feel that some of you are still struggling with the full concentration to be with this lecture. And I can just not imagine to tell you now, sit tall, relax, and go in your mind to Vrindavan. Maybe at another time, when you are a little bit better trained, that will be possible. But still, I would like to bring you a little bit to Vrindavan today. And let me just see how much time I have. Yes, enough time. Wonderful. I would first of all like to tell you that if you want to to be connected with Krishna, the easiest way in Kali Yuga is through the chanting of His holy name. And also, if you want to be connected with Sri Vrindavan Dham, the easiest is to do this in the holy, through the holy name. The Sanat Kumar Sanghita gives us a meditation on Vrindavan, which we should do while we chant the holy name. And I would love to read this meditation to you. And some of you can even meditate, but I prefer to do it that it's a textual meditation here. Jayet Vrindavane Ramye Gopago Bir Alankrite Kadamba Padapachaye Jamuna Jalashitale Radhaya Saitam Krishnam Vangsivadana Tatparam Tribanga Lalitam Devam Bhaktanugrahakarakam Bhaktanugrahakarakam. See, Krishna is playing in the cooling waters of the Yamuna. Or, you can also meditate, he is standing in the shade of a Kadamba tree. Much more beautiful than this tree. In the beautiful forest of Vrindavan. Next to Krishna is Srimati Radharani. Krishna is in his famous threefold bending form, Tribanga Lalitam, while playing his flute and bestowing mercy and kindness on all his devotees. So here are two mantra upasana pictures giving. That means pictures which are delivered to us through a mantra. The first is Krishna is playing in the cooling waters of the Yamuna. The second is he stands on the shore of the river Yamuna in his famous threefold bending form under a Kadamba tree. There's Srimati Radharani on Krishna's left side. Then he's surrounded with beautiful cows and the gopis, and he looks at them, bestowing mercy and kindness on all his devotees. Now I would like to read to you a little bit from Chaitanya Charitamrita about the first meditation. The meditation of which shows our Lord Sri Krishna playing in the river Yamuna. I found a very beautiful picture which I would like to show all of you. If our video camera can focus on this picture, which is here in this corner. You see Krishna in the waters of the Yamuna. There is a full moon shining there. You see in the back the beautiful forest of Sri Vrindavan Dham, and you see him surrounded with the beautiful gopis. This is a scene which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once saw in his meditation. And I want to read to you about this particular meditation which Mahaprabhu had, because it's this meditation which is discussed in the Sanat Kumar Sanghita. Hello, our devotees here are also not fully attentive. Welcome to this lecture, Syamasaki. Concentrate, please. What? See, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sometimes sit at the banks of the river, of the ocean, and when he was absorbed, when he sat there, he remembered the river Jamuna. His mind went to Sri Jamuna. And then, as his mind went to Vrindavan, he saw certain scenes coming into his heart. This is exactly what we are talking about in our Vrindavan meditations. We direct our mind towards Vrindavan, and if we do so, we also will see certain devotional scenes coming in our mind. It's natural. If you think at this moment of the beautiful Bosnian mountains surrounding the town of Sarajevo, and you have been there, certain scenes will come to your mind. I, for instance, immediately think of that beautiful, beautiful excursion which we took with the whole Sarajevo temple into the mountains of surrounding Sarajevo. So it's a picture which is immediately coming to my mind. If I think of Hamburg, I see the river Alster and me as a child in a little boat floating down that river and stealing apples from the gardens left and right of the river. Hare Krishna. That was one of the pictures I saw. But if I think of Vrindavan, if I direct my mind of Vrindavan, I will think of Krishna. I will think of holy places. I will think of Brijbasis. So therefore, it is said, by mentally connecting with Vrindavan, you will actually be in Vrindavan, in the sense that you will make contact with the holy places and scenes in Vrindavan. It's very simple. It's not a very, very difficult concept. So Mahaprabhu thought of Jamuna, and as he thought of the river Jamuna, a particular scene of Krishna came into his a particular scene of Krishna sporting with the gopis in the river Jamuna came to his mind. And this is beautifully described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila chapter 18, and I would love to share this with you. Mahaprabhu said, "Seeing the river Jamuna, I went to Vrindavan. There I saw the son of Nanda Maharaj performing his sporting pastimes in the water." So what exactly happened? Well, Lord Chaitanya says what he saw. Lord Krishna was in the water of the Jamuna in the company of the gopis, headed by Srimati Radharani. They were performing pastimes in a great sporting manner. I saw this pastime as I stood on the bank of the Jamuna in the company of the gopis. One gopi was showing some other gopis the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in the water. So we can see how Mahaprabhu describes. He stood there at the bank of the Jamuna, and he saw a particularly lovely scene. He saw first of all the gopis, and then one gopi is pointing out to another of her friend, "Look there, look into the waters. There is something very special." I find it significant that Mahaprabhu does not directly see Radha and Krishna's Leela, but he sees it through the help of another associate of Radha and Krishna through the help of the gopis. And this I think is very, very nice. You need to be accepted in increasing levels of the spiritual hierarchy. First, you may have to be accepted by a devotee who meets you and gives you a book, and he says, "This book is for you." Then you come into the association of devotees, and they share their mercy with you. Then there is a spiritual teacher, a spiritual master who elevates you. You see, it goes higher and higher, and finally, you will be introduced by an associate of Radha and Krishna, who brings you to the next level. It's a really, you need devotees all the way who bring you from one level to the next level. That's a wonderful point, isn't it? It's like in a tree, there are different rings in the tree, which are all oh my God, is the English word, concentrische Kreise, in concentric circles. It's around the center of the tree. So in the one circle, gold brings you to the next circle, the next circle, the next circle. This is the way you make advancement. You are passed on through the different circles until you come to the inner circle of Krishna's associates. Jai Sri Radhe. So Mahaprabhu also says here, one gopi was showing some other gopis the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in the water. Look there, look there. All the gopis entrusted their silken garments and ornaments to the care of their friends, and then put on fine white cloth. Lord Krishna then took his beloved gopis, who were now all dressed in this fine white bathing suits, you could say they were covering them entirely. He took his beloved gopis with him, bathed and performed very nice pastimes in the water of the Jamuna. My dear friends, says Mahaprabhu, just see Lord Krishna's sporting pastimes in the water. Krishna's restless palms resemble lotus flowers. He's just like the sheaf of mad elephants. The gopis who accompany him are like she elephants. This is an analogy which you can find. Sometimes you see this in Haridwar. I saw that personally. You know, when you go from Haridwar to Rishikesh, there is a forest. And if you would enter this forest, you would meet elephants there. Sometimes there's elephant alarm because they just come out and they do not like to be disturbed by cars and by human beings. So once I saw with my own eyes how the elephant, male elephant, came with a she elephant down the banks. They climbed and they went to Mother Ganga to refreshen themselves and to splash themselves and bathe, and one elephant would take the trunk of gave a shower to the baby elephants or his she elephants, his friends, and so on. It was a very powerful image. So this image is chosen by Krishnadas Kaviraj to describe Krishna, how he entered the Jamuna and there sported with his beloved gopis. And the sporting pastimes in the water began, and everyone started splashing water back and forth. In the tumultuous showers of water, no one could be certain which party was winning and which was losing. The sporting water fight increased unlimitedly. And now another image is given, which is very beautiful. You can rest assured that when Krishna and the gopis play, it is just so beautiful, the scene. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami brings Mahaprabhu's vision really before us. He says the gopis were like steady streaks of lightning. You know, they didn't just come and go, but they were steady. And Krishna resembled a blackish cloud. The lightning began sprinkling water upon the cloud, and the cloud upon the lightning. This is unusual. You can say that a lightning sprinkles water on the cloud, but this is what the poet here says. The gopis splashed Krishna with water. The lightning splashed the cloud. If you read this in the original text, it's very beautifully composed. It's a little difficult to translate into English and to relish it in the English, but in the original language it's much more poetic. As the fight began, they splashed water on one another. Then they fought hand to hand, then face to face, then chest to chest, teeth to teeth, and finally nail to nail. Thousands of hands splashed water, and the gopis saw Krishna with thousands of eyes, with thousands of legs. They came near him, and thousands of bodies embraced him. Krishna joked, and the gopis heard with thousands of ears. Then Krishna, then Lord Chaitanya saw a particularly endearing scene. He saw how Lord Krishna wanted to be together with young Radharani and forcibly took her away and into deep water up to her neck. Then he brought her even into deeper water, and Srimati Radharani became afraid and grasped Krishna's neck. Then Krishna swam with Radha and they went over the and she floated on the water like a golden lotus flower, as described. Now Krishna saw that all the gopis in the water wanted to only be with him, and he performed a miracle which Mahaprabhu could see from the bank. Krishna is always responding to the desires of his dear devotees, so he expanded himself into as many forms as gopis were present and engaged in divine pastimes with them. In the river of the Jamuna, which was crystal clear, Nirmala means very clear. So it is very nicely described with many analogies. After Lord Krishna had performed this pastime, Mahaprabhu saw Lord Sri Krishna went up on the shore of the Jamuna River, taking with him all his beloved gopis. Then the gopis on the river bank rendered service by massaging Krishna and the other gopis with scented oil and smearing paste of amalaki fruit on their bodies. You must know, some of the gopis had stayed on the river bank and prepared for Krishna and the gopis fine massage oils, and afterwards smeared the paste of amalaki fruit on their bodies. Then they all bathed again and put on dry clothing, and they went to a small jeweled house where the gopi Brinda arranged to dress them in forest clothing by decorating them with fragrant flowers, green leaves, and all kinds of other ornaments. So they had enjoyed this pastime, came to an end, and then Brinda Devi took further care of them. She arranged particular ornaments directly from the forest, so that they looked in forest style, you know, flowers over their ears, flower decorations everywhere, just very, very beautiful. It is said that a devotee of Krishna sometimes meditates about putting these ornaments on Krishna. And the text ends, in Vrindavan the trees and creepers are wonderful because throughout the entire year they produce all kinds of fruits and flowers. The gopis and maidservants in the bowers of Vrindavan picked these fruits and flowers and brought them before Radha and Krishna. And now a forest picnic is described with the most wonderful fruits, cantaloupes, chirikas, palm fruits, keshuras, water fruits, lotus fruits, bales, pilos, pomegranates, and many others. Today is Ekadasi. This sounds like an Ekadasi feast. We have also feasted in this Gaura Bhavan today with a wonderful vegetable soup and simultaneously an apple compote. And so, yes. So Radharani thought, well, there will be a forest picnic, but let me bring my own preparations for Krishna. So she brought various sweets made from milk and sugar. Ganga, oh my god, all these sweets, I don't know them. Then Krishna sat very happily down to eat this forest picnic, and afterwards Radha and the gopis partook of the remnants. Finally, they rested in the jeweled pavilion. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who saw all this, said, suddenly all of you created a great tumult and picked me up and brought me back here. Where now is the river Jamuna? Where is Vrindavan? Where are Krishna and the gopis? You have broken my happy dream. I wish on this Ekadasi that all of us can enter the happy dream of reality. These spiritual scenes are more real than what we see now with our eyes. These scenes which we see with our eyes are illusions which we can see because of our contact with our conditioned natures, with our conditioned senses, with our conditioned ears and eyes. They are not the reality. They are as if reality. This is a very interesting concept which you need to learn if you want to enter Vrindavan consciousness. The things which you see with your senses are really an interpretation of the material energy, not more, not less. They have nothing to do with your own spiritual nature and your spiritual home, Vrindavan Dham or Goloka Vrindavan. It's only that due to our karmic connection to this material environment, we see it like this. When I was a child, I once saw on the TV, a TV show where a famous, they're called Hypnotiseur in German, person who hypnotizes others, was shown. And he gave a person a lemon, an onion, it was an onion to eat, and suggested to him while he was under hypnotic trance that this is a sweet orange. And the person was eating the onion, tears were coming out of his eyes, and the man said to him, the hypnotic person who could hypnotize others, this is a sweet orange. And while he was under hypnosis, he believed him. We are also like this. We look at the world and we see this is a sweet world. Because we are under the hypnotic influence of Maya. We think this is a real world because we are connected with our material senses and our material understandings. To wake up from this dream means to go into the real dream. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said here, why have you brought me here? Where is Vrindavan? Where are Krishna and the gopis? You have broken my happy dream. You have broken my happy dream. This is how Srila Prabhupada translates this. It was a vision which was a dream-like vision which was broken, Banga. My dear devotees, I do not know if I can reach today your heart. I just don't know it because I can't see you before me. Let me tell you something. I have been visiting Vrindavan for now many years, something like 40 years, and I have seen external changes going on in Vrindavan, which are not always very happy changes. There's a lot of more building now. Roads have to be broadened, and although there is a lot of more building and many more roads, the bridge buses have not become much richer. No, quite the opposite has happened. But what I've also seen is that the real Vrindavan the Vrindavan of which I like to which I like to meditate about is something on another level, something which scholars call the mythic Vrindavan, or the Vrindavan which is described in the Shastras, in our scriptures. It is this Vrindavan which you can enter when you read the scriptures, when you pray for entry in a humble spirit of mind, and it is this Vrindavan which can reveal itself in your heart, and it is this Vrindavan which in the end will become your ultimate resting place, your place of no return. But you have to practice. You have to practice again and again, and I therefore offer this book to you, to your loving hands. You can watch the progress of the book. We will sometimes put excerpts on our various web pages. One is, I believe, sharanagati.net, and you can more or less Facebook, and on the Facebook you can more or less see the birth of a book. But this is not the birth of a book alone. It's a birth of a spiritual life. It's the birth of the Vrindavan life, the real life which we can hear when we watch the Shastras. And therefore, this evening on Ekadasi, I wish to share with you Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit to Vrindavan. It was a visit which happened spiritually. It was a visit which happened in his consciousness, which is described here in the book. It was the internal consciousness, the Antadashara, the internal condition. I wish you all that in your own spiritual life you can cultivate that internal condition. Don't try, obviously we will not try to imitate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but we will follow the lead of our of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who leads us to Vrindavan Dham.